Do you remember when everybody was on that like sourdough kick?
I do.
Yeah, did you go? Did you get a sourdough starter? And like,
no,
bake?
No. I kind of wish I would have because you know the story of mm-hmm. a starter. Like if I could say this one's from like 1822 or
right.
something
to like your history kick, that would just that would fill you up
yeah.
greatly.
I like 100-year-old bread. I don't know about you.
Emotionally full and physically full.
Yeah,
that would make you happy. Yeah. So we're talking about baking today. I think.
Yeah.
I did not bring you any bread. I'm sorry.
Oh. Okay.
My bad. What makes a company great? What makes a company tick? You know, the companies that have lasted for years and will be around for years to come. At Markel Group, what we've found is that it's beyond great product or service. Those are important, sure, but it's really about the people who drive culture, who embody the spirit of the work, and who build lasting relationships across organizations. We're on a journey to tell the stories of those people, the ones who make Markel Group successful. Welcome to Markel Style. Okay, we're back in studio, which means it's time for another style session.
Love it, Ace.
Matt, this episode, we're heading to a place that I just got to travel to for the first time. It was brilliant.
And you're welcome, because the Midwest is best, my friend.
Says the Midwesterner. Okay.
Flyover states are not meant to be flown over. Should we take it up here, or is this a different episode?
This is a different episode, a different debate. Different entirely. More importantly, we're heading to Indy. Indianapolis, Indiana. We're going to meet Style Award winner Phil Hudson.
Yeah.
And Phil is at TL Green.
Yeah.
So maybe we do one of your favorite things, take a little walk down history lane. Tell us about TL Green.
It's been a minute, but this story starts in 1893.
TL Green was formed in 1893 by Thomas Green. He was a bicycle repairman, from what I understand.
All right, so he starts as a bicycle repairman yeah. in his house, essentially. Yeah. We tried to figure it out when we were over there. How you get from bicycle repair
to
baking
equipment?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not really sure, but he did. Yeah. And he started making ovens and mixing equipment for a lot of different producers, but cookie and cracker manufacturers, that sort of thing. And what's interesting is he was selling this stuff all over the globe. Mike Johnson actually gave us some context on that.
Okay.
In 1928, Tom Green took a world tour with his wife and some other friends of his, and that was how he used to sell equipment back in those days. He would travel the world, he would go to bakeries, he would demonstrate to them the type of equipment that he could produce and sell out of this location. And he would walk away with an order, and he would say, in 10 months or a year, we're going to deliver this equipment to you. So he would travel all around the world looking for customers for that, and he would scoop up orders and come back and produce the orders and then ship them back out. And then he would travel around again and then see how they went, maybe film some of it.
Man, I mean, so world tour.
Yeah.
Selling equipment. Pretty cool. What I'm struck by is how companies sometimes grow up together. And so all totally. Of the folks that TL Green is supplying baking equipment, you know, TL Green started bicycle to baking equipment. We don't know how that happened, but then had first couple customers who were small shops, small yeah. baking bakeries, and grew into these global brands. And TL Green grew alongside, supplying the ovens. You go from Easy Bake to, like, I don't know, kitchen size to massive industrial, bigger than you and I. Some
yeah.
of the, like, mixing
when
bowls.
When we were out there, they actually brought in some cast iron old mixing bowls from the early, like, you know, yeah. 1900s that were taller than you and I. You know, yeah. it was unreal.
We're not small guys. That is yeah. wild to think yeah. about the sheer scale at which
it's
some
unreal.
Of this work happens.
And so, I think there's an interesting point here, yeah. too, because, like, when we talk, you know, we've talked a lot about, like, the long-term mindset of
sure.
Markel, and that's why, you know, I love to go back to the 1800s. But when we talk about that win-win-win architecture, which is basically the idea
sure.
that anybody who comes into contact with us is better than they would have been if they hadn't. And that, to us, is about your customers, certainly. It's about your employees, but it's also about your partners. And so if you're able to preserve a relationship for
yeah.
over 100 years with a customer, to me, that showcases exactly what we're talking about. which is you're providing great products at a fair price, and you're always providing good customer service, and it shows.
Yeah, so I mean that longevity is really important. As you think about a company that started small, started early, preserved the relationships, like you said. Now you've got a couple generations of family ownership, and then they join the Reading Bakery Systems family, which is now a part of Markel Food Group.
Yeah,
and so you've seen this arc of solid quality at a small scale, being able to scale up, keep the relationships, and then continue to grow to a place where they've joined the Markel Food Group family and continuing to do great work.
Yeah, and you know, I could go for another hour on their story, telling you in World War II how they repurposed their factory to build Army equipment, or how one of those generations of leadership was a Luger family, which Dick Luger is the guy Senator Dick Luger, with the Nunn-Luger legislation that reduced the number of nuclear weapons by over 7,500 in the world.
Yeah.
And so we could go into all those aspects of the story, but unfortunately, we're going to have to cut that short. But the real reason we're here is to talk about Phil Hudson.
Well, how about we get to Phil Hudson? Tell me about Phil. Give me his backstory.
Okay, so Phil had experience in manufacturing, particularly in welding. He came in 2012 as a temp. And so American manufacturing, that's a lot of times how you source talent, is you bring folks in as temporary workers so you can kind of see what they're made of. And then if it works out, you bring them on full time. And so Phil was actually a temp for 3 years, which is a very long time. But, you know, I think one of the things that we saw when we encountered Phil is this is a guy he's loyal and he's committed and he does what he needs to do. And, you know, at one point he asked his wife, you know, if you trust me on this one, I think it's going to work out. I'm going to go try and make it work at this company. And ultimately it did.
So 3 years in the welding department as a temp, goes on to lead the welding team, and then in 2020 promoted to be shop coordinator and overseeing the shop floor in its entirety.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he hung in there for 3 years, and then he became a permanent employee. And then he worked his way up to coordinator, which was what Brian spotted in him, was his analytical ability and his ability to think through and understand quality standards and lead the team. And I think a lot about what made him such a good leader is that as he gets to know the people on the team, he empathizes with them and he feels their pain, or he understands what's going on in their personal lives, and he can relate to what motivates them, and he can see, you know, where their talents are, and he can start to direct people into those talent areas where then they can begin to learn to do what they're really good at.
Phil is kind of one of us, you know, he knows what's like, you know, working out here with us, and he knows the struggles, and, you know, it's nice to have that kind of person backing you up, you know.
All right, you know the Joe, Matt, we've heard all the great things about how much of a wonderful human Phil is. Let's talk about the impact to the business.
Yeah, and in this one, it's real. Let's start with the money. So one of the jobs that a shop coordinator has is they have to figure out which tasks are we going to handle in-house and which are we going to outsource.
Yep.
Sometimes we're making parts for old machinery. Sometimes we're making new machines, that sort of thing. And Phil has done such a good job at that. By selecting which things to outsource, he's actually saved over $1.5 million in outsourcing expenses, all while bringing in an additional $6 million. So this is one man's impact financially. He has done that unequivocally. That is all attributable to Phil.
So basically, I think what I've just heard is more money, less problems.
That's it.
That's Phil's motto.
Okay. And I don't know that he'd be singing any songs about it, but it would work poetically as a song. But it's not just about the money either. I think, you know, when we talk a lot about American manufacturing, and this goes back to our Ellicott episode, it's really hard right now to find people who are machinists, who are welders, who actually will stick with your company for a long time. And I think if you look at Phil's real impact on the business on the people side, is that he's been able to identify talent from that temporary workforce and then to retain folks in a way that most companies can't.
So there are many people that he's brought in, probably half 3/4 of the welding department down there all started as temps. The coordinator of the welding department started as a temp. And so at one point, you know, he came to Brian and myself and he said, you know, we got this guy named Andre, and I think he would be a good potential to move him into the machine shop.
Well, Phil hit my back, you see what I'm saying? He went the above and beyond, you see what I'm saying, for me to get this job.
And so now, I don't know how long Andre's been in the machine shop, but he's been there, I would think, at least 2 years. Now he's operating a computer-controlled mill. He hardly needs any additional input or guidance whatsoever. He's a valued and productive member of the team, and you know, we're looking at where's he going to go next. And that's all because Phil noticed that talent that existed within this guy that was here for a week-to-week job that now has worked up to the point where he has a retirement plan. He has a health benefit plan. You know, he gets bonuses here at the company. And, you know, we have lunches and activities, and he participates in those things. And now he belongs to a family.
So, Matt, we hear it from you, of course. Like, you got to have the conversations with folks across. But everybody on the team kind of said the same thing. Phil has this uncanny ability to your point, to retain talent, but to develop the type of folks that you want on the floor doing work, making sure that TL Green continues to grow alongside clients and the businesses that it supports. And, you know, you asked him about it, and here's what he said.
Do you find joy in, like, that part of it, in leading the team and finding the next generation and all that stuff?
I never really thought about it. I just tried to do the job.
Well, there you have it, Ace, a man of few words.
Which seems to kind of be this running theme as we end up
not at this table.
On shop floors. No, not us. But Alex Green over at Ellicott, I think Diego at Costa Farms. Like, we've had conversations with folks who I'm here to do great work and inspire the people around me. If they pick up on how I operate, then we'll all be good. And I have to embody that. I have to showcase it, model it. And that's how we continue to build the culture that drives the business forward. That's pretty cool. Phil embodies that.
It's amazing. And, you know, all I can really say to Phil is thank you, because it's clear to me that he's transformed that business in financial terms, but also with the team that he's been able to retain and the love that they show for him. So thank you, Phil.
Yeah.
And I think we got a few more comments for some of the team members.
Yeah, no doubt. Thanks, Phil.
On my side, if I got a call on a Saturday from a customer that was down and I had to come in here to the office to get a part or I needed something, I could call Phil and he always answers the phone.
He treats people well. I mean, he's straightforward. I mean, he's the lead. So, I mean, it's all right working with Phil. I love Phil.